If you would open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 1, Psalm number 1, I'm going to read the whole psalm, it's 6 verses. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open to this passage. It is my text, and as I read it, I'll remind you that this is the Word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Lord, as we read through this psalm, I don't think there's any doubt on which category we want to be in. The way of the righteous prospers, the way of the wicked perishes. So, Lord, what is it that leads to this prosperous life, this vibrant spiritual life? What is it that leads to this blessing that keeps us grounded, it keeps us firmly rooted? Lord, I pray that as we look at this psalm a little bit later, that you would reveal that to us through the words of the psalmist. And God, that the words you'd let me speak, I pray that they'd be true to your intention from the word. I pray. Amen. Well, we're gonna start. I gave a little introduction the last week I was here, but a series called The Wisdom Pyramid. And it's taken from a book. I had mentioned the book and promoted the book, and I would still encourage you, if you want to get the book. It's called The Wisdom Pyramid. But it's based upon the now outdated food pyramid. And the point is that this is how a healthy, balanced Christian life should find its wisdom. And the basis, the most important, in fact, I could even say, if that's all you had, it would be enough. But it starts with the Bible. The Word of God. So we're going to look this morning at the blessings of meditating on the Word. We are suffering from an information overload. There's no shortage of voices, experts, opinions, news. Not to mention podcasts, newsletters, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the like. Then there's fake news and fact checks, and they all shout at us. I'm so tired of being shouted at. There's my truth and your truth and his truth and her truth and their truth. And of course, there's feelings. Can't hurt anybody's feelings. Feelings reign supreme. Well, all these can't be of equal value. I mean, what are we to think? The problem is we put all these sources of information on the same level. There are many sources of truth. There are many sources of wisdom. We're going to look at that in the next 6 weeks, 6 places in which we can find some wisdom. But they're not of equal value. As followers of Christ, where are we supposed to turn? Where are we supposed to look? What are we supposed to listen to? What are we to think? What are we to meditate upon? Well, I think the first psalm provides us the wisdom that we need to answer that those questions. Now, the book of Psalms, the Psalms were written at different times by different people. So it's a little unique. In fact, sometimes it's divided up into five books. But they weren't all written at the same time. They weren't all written by the same person. In fact, through the years, some editors put the book together as in the form that we have it now. So the book of Psalms is really a collection of inspired psalms. Okay, those psalms that were given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by holy men of old as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These were inspired psalms, and somewhere through the process of compiling the Old Testament, these were put together into a book that we call the book of Psalms. But each part of it is a psalm, but we call it the book of Psalms. This psalm, I believe, is first on purpose. I think it was placed here because it sets the table for the rest of the psalms. We don't know who wrote it, but it lays out a very obvious contrast. It's a contrast between the blessed, verse 1, and the wicked, in verse 4. And there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. So we're briefly going to look at Psalm 1. It's a brief psalm, so our look will be brief. But let me give you some thoughts to think about here from Psalm 1. First of all, to be blessed, let the word direct you. To be blessed, let the word direct you. Verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk. Okay, so it first presents it as a negative. Here's what not to do. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now you'll notice there's a downward progression in this psalm. There's a downward progression in this verse. Okay? It starts with walking, and then standing, and then sitting. So it begins with a direction, a walk, that eventually creates you standing, stopping, and then sitting. If you follow the wrong counsel, that's walking. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So if you follow, if you walk according to the wrong counsel, if you follow the wrong counsel, then you will stand for the wrong things. So again, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, and will finally sit with the wrong crowd. So again, we see this regression. First you walk with the wrong counselors, then you stand for the wrong things, and finally you just sit with the wrong crowd. Now we find this, I think, demonstrated in the New Testament in Apostle Peter's experience. You'll remember what happened to the Apostle Peter when the Lord was betrayed and arrested in the garden, and most of the apostles scattered. Peter followed from afar off. But we see this progression, if you will, in his experience. We first see in Matthew 26, then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So that was in the garden. This is what he told them. In other words, you're going to not be following me. You're going to fall away. You're going to be scattered. And that's what first happened. They all fled. But Peter from afar, of course, watched. But the Lord had said, you're going to walk away. John 18. Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus in the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing. So first he was walking, but Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. So first he's scattered, he's walking, then he's standing, and then, as you know, what happens by the fire, Luke 22. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. So he ends up sitting in the fire, and as you know what happens, they say, "Weren't you one of them?" And what does Peter say? No, not me. I don't even know the guy. And another person says, "You've got an accent like you're from Galilee. Are you one of his followers?" "No, I'm not one of his followers." Then finally a third person says, "You sure seem to be, didn't I see you with that guy before?" And what did Peter do? He cussed. I find it ironic, you know, that was the way to distinguish between someone who's followed the Lord and somebody who doesn't want to be is cussing. That's just my opinion. Okay, I don't cuss, but I understand that it does kind of say something about a person. But Peter denied the Lord. First he was walking, then he was standing, then he was sitting. If you follow the wrong counsel, then you will stand with the wrong companions and finally sit with the wrong crowd. That's what we see in verse 1. We need to let the Word direct us. What are we going? We're going to follow something. We're going to follow somebody's wisdom. Who's it going to be? If we follow the wisdom of the wicked, then pretty soon we will stand with the wrong companions, and eventually we will be sitting with the wrong crowd. Now, wicked here means evil or sinners. Sinners don't care about God's standard, and scoffers make fun of God's holiness. So when it says with the wicked or evil, all right, when we walk in the path that they're walking, then we end up standing with them. And then scoffers means those who make fun of God's holiness. So we don't immediately go from following Christ to mocking or scoffing Christianity. It's a process. So to be blessed, we let the Word direct us. That's what we follow. Now again, verse 1 approaches that from the negative. Okay. Verse 2, though, gives us the positive. How then do I avoid that? Well, secondly, to be blessed, let the Word delight you. Let the Word delight you. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So again, we see the word but there. It's a contrast. It's making a distinction. You have two choices here. You either walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or you delight in the law of the Lord. There's your choices. There's no middle ground. It's one or the others. What are you going to delight in? The worldview, the mindset, the pleasures of the world, or are you going to delight in the law of the Lord? Blessed is the man or woman who doesn't do verse 1, but instead does verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Staying in the Word allows us to be proactive, not reactive. Here's what I mean by that. Too many times we are confronted with something that we don't know about, or it's new, or it's some theory or opinion or whatever. And we react, but if we've been in the Word of God, we know what the truth is instead. What does the law say? If I've been meditating on the Word, if I've been staying in the Word, if I've been reading the Word, then I can head these things off at the pass rather than be taken by a surprise. In other words, in verse 1, the man is constantly shifting or reacting to the crowd. Okay, see that? He's constantly shifting. First he's walking with the wicked, then he's standing, and then eventually he's sitting. He's constantly shifting. He's constantly reacting to the crowd. If we're grounded in the Word, then we know what we believe. And we're not constantly shifting with the crowd, with the issue of the day. Instead, he or she shows their delight, their pleasure, their desire by meditation on the Word. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He thinks on it. He chews on it. He even says it out loud to himself. Keep your hand here. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 15. Psalm 119, 15. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Again, I will think on what you have said. I will give regard to your way. Not, I won't regard the way of the wicked. I won't regard the counsel of the wicked. I won't sit with the wicked. I instead will delight in the in your statutes. I will remember, verse 16, your word. Psalm 119, 23. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant instead meditates on your statutes. So again, the temptation there is, I will sit with this crowd, because if I don't, they'll be hostile towards me. But instead, I meditate on your statutes. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. So, you know, pose the verse 1 where the counsels of the wicked. Look at 119, 47. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. Look at Psalm 119, 77. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie. But I shall meditate on your precepts. So again, it's a choice between a lie or the truth. They want to subvert the truth. They want to counsel you on what they think, what they feel. But God's people instead turn to the Word of God. In fact, if you read Psalm 119, which I would encourage you to do so, you'll find that in Psalm 119, God's people prefers God's word to food, to sleep, to money, to friendships. Thirdly, to be blessed, be a blessing. Look at verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Meditate on the law day and night, as I delight in the law of the Lord, as I don't follow the counsel of the ungodly, I will be grounded. I'll be firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. what demonstrates that a man or woman is blessed? Because that's what verses 1 through 3 is about. How blessed is the man? It's bearing fruit. It's bearing fruit. If you're grounded, if you're firmly planted, you will yield fruit in its season. But what is the point of fruit? The fruit is to be enjoyed. It's to be given to others. It's to be used as a blessing. Because their roots go down deep, they don't shrivel up and die. God blesses them so that they can bless others. We share the fruits of what we have been given. We have the fruits of the Spirit in abundance. We have a Christ-like life is what we have. Again, Jesus is the way, verse 1. Jesus is the truth, verse 2. Jesus is the life, verse 3. We are rooted in Christ and drawing on the power of His resurrection. Well, I mentioned that this is a psalm of contrast. Verse 4 is very sobering. The wicked are not so. The wicked are not so. Verse 4. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They won't stand up to judgment. In other words, they won't pass. Nor sinners in assembly of the righteous. They've chosen to sit. They won't be in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. How desperately these people need what we have to offer. The knowledge of God, of our Creator, the blessings of being in Christ. I mean, this psalm ends, verse 3 ends with prospering or blessing. It ends with perishing. The world needs truth. It is blown about by every new wind. And you cannot keep track. You can't keep up, right? I mean, you have people who were accepted and cutting edge about new morality or whatever one day, who all of a sudden is being canceled because what they believed yesterday isn't any good anymore. They're blown about by every wind of doctrine. They're blown about by every new truth. But we don't have to be. We can be planted. We can be prosperous. We can be a blessing. We live in what you could call a post-truth world. Okay? We live in a post-truth world. We're told that there isn't such a thing as truth. But yet, if I hire an architect to build me a house, I think I want him to make sure he's building it right, right? Like, I don't want him to say, I know they say you need a concrete foundation, but hey, that's all right. I'll just put some mulch down here. Right? I want a pilot that understands aerodynamics, not saying, you know what, I know that how they taught me to fly this thing, but I think it'd be a lot better if I turned this wheel upside down. Because that's my truth. We live in a post-truth world, but we must ground ourselves in God's Word as the primary source of truth. So again, as we go the next 6 weeks to the next 5 weeks, we'll see that you can get truth and some wisdom from other places. Yes. But the truth we need, the truth that grounds us, the truth that leads to blessing is the law of the Lord. Is perfect, making wise the simple. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us truth. And I know, I am well aware that even to say that makes me an outcast, makes me a contrarian, makes me a bigot. Lord, to assume that there's such thing as objective truth, to assume that, well, my truth is true regardless. It's not my truth, it's the truth. We can't even say 2 + 2 = 4 anymore. That's your truth. What about this guy's truth? Well, Lord, his truth is wrong. So, Lord, as we cope with this information overload, as we cope with these voices that shout at us constantly, help us, God, maybe to turn most of them off, but at least be proactive by meditating, delighting in your word, I pray. Amen.